I can tell you I went on a build with Habitat, and the region we were supposed to go to in Ghana was they suffered a number of challenges with a local conflict that went international. So they didn't deploy us to that region. They actually, we were sent to another area, and they just said, sorry, we're not willing to send you to that region because of what's happening right now. We know it's last minute, but they made all the plans for us to just be shifted to another area, and it was a fantastic trip. So you want, you know, an agency that's got that international perspective, who's going to understand the risk management involved and be able to ensure that you have the resources that you need and that you're going to make the most impact on the community, because that's what you want to do when you go.
And I think oftentimes for those who are interested in taking part in a community development initiative, the point is to make a difference and to make an impact, a significant impact within that period of time. I think that, like you said, choosing an organization, choosing someone that you can rely on to plan, to look at the risk management, assess the risk management, and at the same time, perhaps looking at the experience that previous members who have been involved in the initiative, looking towards those people, look, reading online, doing research, seeing some of the pros and cons, because although some people might want to make a difference and they'd love to be involved in such an initiative, there might be certain risks that individuals aren't willing to take. They might not be comfortable in taking part in an initiative where the possibility of any risk is associated. At the same time, for those who are perhaps interested in taking part in such a community development initiative, would you recommend to someone who perhaps is young and who is about to pursue university but just completed high school and wants to be involved in more of these types of initiative, would you encourage that group of people to take part in such an initiative? Is there support for someone who is involved in this and wants to go, let's say, with a few of their friends?
Yes.
If they take part in this initiative, is there a community, like, once you're involved in the process, is there, if you decide that you want to take part and you complete the assigned tasks to you, is there anything that can further be done in terms of making a difference if you decide that you're in a location and you enjoy the work that you're doing? Can you then stay on the projects and keep doing that, let's say, for a year? Or is there a time limit as to when you complete the initiative and then you have to go back?
Well, usually the trips are set in time. So they're, let's say it's 2 weeks. You'll do a 2-week trip and then you can come back. Mm-hmm. There are opportunities to stay involved. It really depends on the agency. You could stay involved from a distance. You can do fundraising and keep in touch with people from there potentially. And it could be your own initiative that you have a heart for. I have a heart for a couple of initiatives that I was involved in that I've stayed involved in that way. And so I would encourage people, especially if they're involved in something that they see is working once they're there, and they're like, oh, this is something that's really effective, right? So in that case, there's lots of opportunities to do that. Some of it you might have to create yourself, right? In terms of, you might go on another trip and go back. You might, you know, look to plan for a longer term trip. Some places allow it, some places don't. So it will really depend on where you go, what agency you're with, and what it is that you personally are looking to do.
And at the same time, by being involved in such an initiative, you oftentimes invest some of your money, or depending on whether an organization sponsors you to be involved in the initiative. Other than fundraising, are there any other things that can be done by those who are, let's say, passionate about an initiative but can't necessarily afford to go twice a year or once a year to make a difference? I think that oftentimes social media can be used very effectively.
Absolutely.
When it comes down to spreading that message,
yes,
getting that information out there. I think, and that's one of the key points you made, is that education is key. And being knowledgeable and understanding what's happening around the world and questioning why is something happening is not only important, but it's, you don't necessarily have to go to a country. I mean, it's always great if you can go, because you immerse yourself in the culture. You're actually there. You're making a difference every day. But for those who aren't necessarily able to travel due to various reasons, or don't have the funds, or don't have an organization that can back them up and cover the expenses affiliated with such an initiative, I think that by going online and perhaps setting up your own Facebook page or setting up a YouTube account or setting up using social media, but in an effective way, can be very impactful.
Sure. And there's a couple of things you can do with that. One is creating awareness. There's mixed reviews on how much of an impact that has. And I actually think the reason that there's mixed reviews is it's such a new space for that we don't know how impactful that is long term. But of course, you know, talking about things, whether it's like you and I talking here, whether it's online, that's always going to have some kind of an impact, right?
Exactly.
But the other thing is, you know, in this day and age for young people, you can use online to do crowdfunding as well. Mm-hmm. Like, think about, I mean, a lot of these agencies will allow you to set up a web page to be able to raise funds. So you could use the internet and people you don't know to help you to go potentially. So people think of fundraising like, oh, I can't get out and do a car wash. That's not my gig, right? Or maybe they live in an area where that just wouldn't work, right? But there are opportunities online. Look at the kind of the GoFundMe campaigns that exist.
That's
now.
What I was about to mention.
So interesting, right? That's... So these agencies, like the two that I've mentioned, you set up a web page, they give it to you, and then you can direct people to your link. You can talk about what you want. You can set up a blog and have people go there. And you can take your time in raising the money. You don't have to raise it within a certain time frame. So you can. I mean, in the sense that it doesn't have to be like within 6 months. So you could plan, okay, I'm going to work on raising money over this period of time, and then that's what I'm going to do. So there's really exciting opportunities online to support people that want to get involved in something like this.
And like you mentioned, GoFundMe is a great site. I've actually seen people asking for funding or asking for people to make contributions to various causes. And I think that's a great resource for people to be made aware of. And I encourage everyone to go online, see what it's about.
Yeah.
And if there's something you're passionate about, don't be afraid to check it out and then be involved.
Yeah.
You know,
there's a guy that does street art in my neighborhood, and it's really beautiful. I love it. And he's got his street art on the pavement. He's got his GoFundMe campaign set.
Nice.
And so he actually pays for all of his initiatives with street art, which is for free for those of us walking down the street who just enjoy it. But it's actually being paid for by other people out there on the internet through his GoFundMe campaign.
That's amazing. I think there are so many creative people out there, and I mean that's a way to fund your dreams and your ambitions.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, I always encourage people to pursue what they're passionate about and to follow their dreams. And you have to ultimately look at what it is that you want to pursue. But at the same time, you have to do your research and see what's out there, what's available to you, and question whether it's a good idea to use something or is it a bad idea. And then look at the pros and cons. And
yeah.
I always tell people to, like, whenever they're making a decision, to think about the end result.
Yeah.
Think about what it is you want. So if you want to spread that awareness and you want to continue, you know, making a difference, and you're extremely passionate about, say, an organization or about an initiative, then do as much as you can. The only person that can limit you is yourself.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. And you never know how following your passion can lead to something that you never expected. And it might not happen right away. You have to be patient. But I always tell my students, and I believe this wholeheartedly, if you do what you love, you'll never work a day in your life. Right?
That's
that
very
famous
true.
Expression. So, you know, you don't know how things are going to come to pass. When I was younger, I was interested in photography. I did a diploma in photography part-time. I was really into it. I just did it because I loved it. Well, now with social media and all these things I'm involved in, photography is a big deal. It's a big deal on your site. When I went to Africa one of the last times, I did a whole photography project, and now all of their material that they're using for fundraising uses my photographs. Wow, I wouldn't have thought that I'd be involved in an international development project that would support them through my photography.
Wow.
And yet that integrates with policing. Like, who would thought that that's how things come together, and yet they do.
And
so
yet you're able to do policing and photography,
yeah.
To do both. And you're clearly a passionate individual. I can see
that.
I can see that. So, I mean, I think it's always good to be creative and to always do what you love to do. Mm-hmm. It's interesting because I don't have a degree in journalism. My background is in legal studies. I did my bachelor's in legal studies and my master's in public service at the University of Waterloo. And I always assumed that I would be at this point working for the government or that I would be working for a firm, a law firm.
Right.
So I'm currently completing my law degree through University of London's international program.
Okay, yes,
so
I'm aware of that. Yes.
I finished my first year and now I'm completing my second year. And I have to say that as a result of joining NATO and being the program editor of Global Horizons, I didn't realize how much I enjoyed interviewing diplomats, government officials, and people who are influential members of the community. This does not feel like work for me. Mm. It feels like every day I'm learning something new, and each person that I interview, I'm provided with an opportunity to learn more about who they are, what they do, and how they make a difference in the community. So I might consider a profession. I love the job that I do. Going back to social media and that, I use Facebook, YouTube, Twitter, Instagram with the work that I do.
Mm-hmm.
And with my plans of pursuing law one day once I complete my law degree and go through the NCAs and
mm-hmm.
have, because it's a process.
It's
and
a
you
process.
Have to go to the Law Society of Upper
yes.
Canada, as you know. It's quite the process. But still, I have used social media a lot. But I use it responsibly.
Right.
You know, so knowing that any publication, anything that gets released, anything that goes out there will stay up
yeah.
on the site permanently.
Absolutely.
So it's really interesting because I really enjoy this work. And oftentimes with anything that that is released or is published on the NATO Association of Canada's site, I always want to make sure that the youth is provided with that chance to listen and to hear about the work that various members of the community are doing. Because there will be a lot of people that will listen to this interview. And there are a lot of individuals who are perhaps passionate about pursuing a career in policing. And now they will question what they should do, what next steps should be taken. Well, maybe they'll want to become involved in the auxiliary program
mm-hmm.
or other volunteer initiatives. So I think it's good to question certain things and also to look at the opportunities that are made out there to you. To finish this interview off, I have my colleague here, Eric, who has two remaining questions for you.
Okay.
So continuing on regards to the theme of youth, the Ministry of Children and Youth Services announced that the Ontario government would be funding various youth initiatives as part of the government's new strategy to address the growing needs of our youth. A partnership has been established with the Toronto Police Services Board, the Toronto Police Service, and the Ministry of Children and Youth Services to hire 150 youth for the summer. Can you discuss the significance of the Youth in Policing initiative? And my second question is, in addition, what would be some of the next steps that should be taken for those interested in applying?
So the program's actually been expanded. So it's exciting because it's not just a summer initiative. You can actually do it part-time in the fall and the spring. So there are opportunities for full-time employment in the summer as well as part-time employment during the school year. And I think it's such a great initiative because you have the chance to work for the service. It's interesting because every youth that comes in works in a different place. So some of them go to divisions, like the one we're sitting in today, and they would come here and work on everything from the social media campaigns that are happening here to traffic initiatives. We've had them out talking to drivers in areas where they're speeding and doing prevention work that way. They will go out to different community programs that are existing and spend time working with youth in various communities. So it's really exciting and it gives you an inside glimpse into what it's like to work in policing, exactly what we were talking about before, the fact that people who wouldn't generally have exposure to somebody in policing now can come in and actually work in the organization and do it. So what I would do is check the Toronto Police website and see when the next posting is and to apply and to really look at the criteria, because there is set criteria for applying. So you have to be within a certain age frame. They emphasize youth that live in particular communities in Toronto, because we're looking to really work with certain communities and with certain youth, particularly those who wouldn't necessarily have an opportunity to meet police. So that is, you know, there's criteria that you have to be aware of, and that's why it's really important to check out what that criteria is and then apply. Why not? And I say that if you're interested in it, you don't get the paid opportunity to still consider those other opportunities like volunteering and the auxiliary program and that kind of thing. There's lots of ways to get involved.
Thank you.
Inspector Shauna Coxon, I sincerely want to thank you for taking the time out of your busy schedule to speak with us today. I'm certain that a lot of youth will benefit from obtaining the valuable information that you've had to provide, and I'm certain that more individuals will be interested in pursuing a career in policing as a result of listening to this interview today. It's been a pleasure to speak with you.
Thank you so much for having me. I really enjoyed being here today and to meeting
you
as well,
meet you,
Eric. And so thank you again for having me.
My pleasure.
All right.